Hello and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we round up a busy summer with all the ins and outs, recap the League Cup group stage, and we'll preview Saturday's League 2 opener at East Fife. Yes, welcome to a new season of the Blue Team Podcast, back again for our fifth season, so hopefully much more positives to go through this season as to what it was last season. I am Colin Byers, and despite many changes at Balmoor, the lineup here at the Blue Team Podcast remains exactly the same, with Martin Smith here with me, signing another long-term deal. Martin, how are you?
You tell me he's a one-year trolling contract that I had. That's why I had to bite on. I'm very well, thanks, Colin. How are you? Great to be back for another edition, isn't it?
Yeah, aye. Good to be back. Doing all good. How was your summer, or as Gary Neville would call it, your mini-retirements?
Yeah, it was good. We mentioned right at the end of last season, it's the first time that we've actually taken a summer break. And I think based on what we've seen last season, a break was well needed. And raring to go and really excited for what this season has in store for us.
Yeah, we got kind of to the point for it was getting more and more difficult just to kind of keep the motivation, I think, more than anything else, for me anyway, to keep it going over the summer. Because, as you said, based on what we saw last season, it was getting more and more difficult just to kind of nae go over the same things and nae sound as though we're repeating ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the players, they were delighted the season finished. We were probably in the same boat, given if it had gone through last year. I think a break was needed, just a chance to reset everything for the club and as well as for us. Like I said, I'm raring to go for this season. I think it'll be a really positive one, hopefully.
I would say as well, I mean, after the first couple of weeks of Nadine podcast, I was sitting thinking, oh, we've probably done the right thing. But as the weeks kind of progressed, and obviously as you sort of see the mayor and mayor business that Ryan and Jordan were dealing with, so we'll cover that shortly. The mayor, the sort of twitch of the kind of, ooh, I wonder if we could just do something, I wonder if we just jump on again. But so in a funny way, we actually kind of missed Dean it over the last few weeks.
Yeah, probably the same. I think the first couple of weeks it was fine to get that break, finally to have to try and think of different ways to spin how last season went. But yeah, as the weeks have gone on and the good work that Ryan and Jordan, the guys behind the scenes, have done, you've sort of been itching to put something out, but we're hoping that the quality also will be there for us this season.
And I think our enthusiasm and expectations, as again we'll come on to, is echoed by other Peterhead fans as well. I think they're just really looking forward to the season starting and getting going.
Yeah, I mean, hey, last time we'll touch on it, but last season was an awful season. And then the negativity around the club, you know, it was there for everyone to see right up until the end of the season. But I think there's a renewed hope this season that the work that Ryan and Jordan have done, how they've tried to bring supporters together as well as the players coming in. They've got a clear identity in what they're trying to do. And I think that's sort of spilling out to the fans as well. We're fully aware that last season was difficult, but this year we've got to get fully behind Ryan and Jordan, you know, and back them for a successful season.
Yeah, so plenty for us to go over in this first episode, plenty to discuss. But a couple of things I want to go over just before we get into the meat of a few different things. Last season, or towards the end of last season, we spoke about this proposed B League conference that was going to be sort of voted on at the beginning of June. Thankfully, that didn't go through. In fact, it didn't even go to a vote. What we saw as the sort of days and the weeks prior to the proposed vote, the momentum was strongly against this, and a lot more teams were coming out and saying no. We're going to vote against this. I think, and you and I both agree on this, this is probably the right thing, that it should never have even reared its head, but it's now been put to bed, hopefully been put to bed permanently. But what was your kind of reaction to it not even going to a vote?
Partly surprised, but at the same time I'm not. I think anything that's done by the SFA and the SPFL just now just seems to be lost. I think the fact that they didn't put it to a vote, they sort of knew themselves that it would sort of get quashed very quickly. There was very, very strong arguments by clubs to say this is the reason why we're not going to do it. And that's from all sectors of the pyramid of the, you know, the level, how they've seen it. And thankfully, and I think rightly, it's been put to bed. How long for? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised in 18 months, 2 years, they come back with a different spin on it. But for the meantime, I'm glad it's been put to bed, and hopefully that will be the end of it, really.
And you've got to look at Ian Maxwell's position as well, because he was obviously, just days before it was supposed to go to a vote, was saying to clubs, you really need to be pushing this through. This is going to be good for Scottish football. And couple that with the debacle of the Scottish Cup final as well, his position really has to be looked at now as well.
I think Ian Maxwell and Neil Doncaster, I think the job that they're doing is pretty poor. And you can tell that by the TV deal as well, that Neil Doncaster bangs on about how brilliantly that they've done when really they haven't. I just think there, how they promote the Scottish game could be, you know, 10 times better than what it actually is. I've seen the Viaplay Cup, I've seen the TV picks just before we went live. Are we surprised that it's Rangers and Celtic that are the two that are on again?
No.
Again, probably not, but there's a bigger picture. It's the same things that, you know, you can only promote the Scottish game so much, but you need help from those that are actually within the SFA to push it. But yeah, I think both their positions really are becoming quite untenable, to be honest.
And you have to look at the reaction of some of the clubs. I mean, Rangers, for example, they then instantly pulled Rangers B out of the Lowland League for this season, not for next season, but immediately for this season, which I guess kind of looks as though it's the kind of toys out the pram scenario.
Yeah, very much so. It was a case of they weren't happy with it. They wanted to push it through, and then they've withdrawn the team for this season. Sour grapes, and as you said, toys out the pram, so to speak.
And we should praise as well the people or person who run the No B Team campaign online, social media-wise. Because it would be very easy for, you probably see this in scenarios throughout life, at work, etc. A lot of folk will sort of be unhappy with something that's happening or something that might change. Everybody talks about it, says it's crap, we shouldn't be doing this, blah, blah, blah. But nobody actually takes the initiative to say, like, no, actually, I'm going to say something, I'm going to stand up. Mainly maybe because they don't want to be sort of singled out, maybe because as well they don't think that other people will follow them, but you know, whoever's on that one did a great campaign, and it just shows you as well. And actually, and I think actually galvanised Scottish football fans to get behind it as well.
Yeah, very active as well. I think it would have been quite easy if you've maybe got a couple of the bigger teams that have backed it and said that they're not going to go again, either going to go against the proposal. It's been quite easy for them to sort of rest there, and they've been quite happy, but they kept pushing every club, and I literally mean every club that said that they were against it, they were straight on it, and yeah, credit to them.
Yep, so whoever that was, well done to you, congratulations to you. Hopefully we don't need it again, but you never know. One other final thing I want to mention as well, just after the season had finished, there was a night for the fans at Balmoor. Fantastic night, organised by Craig here, did a great job organising that, brilliant night. Entertainment was Ray Thompson. First time I'd ever seen him. I would safely say it's not family orientated, but it was a good night all in all. Auctions as well, a lot of money raised, so it was a good night. Brian Daniels was the DJ there as well, so I think everybody attended had a really good night.
Yeah, the feedback that we sort of heard after the couple of days after was all very positive. Like you said, Ray Thompson's not one to go with the family with, but he's certainly a unique act, shall we say. But really good, as you said, the DJ there as well. A good meal as well put on by the football club,
yep.
As we said. Couldn't complain with that either. So, yeah, a really good evening by Craig Kerr that he put on. He managed to get a lot of people to in his support. So hopefully it'll be an annual thing, and something that can really get momentum over the next couple of years and get more folk to attend.
Yeah, the weird thing was Ray Thompson, obviously, I'm assuming he must have gotten paid to attend, but then spent vast majority of the money that he was getting on the auction items.
he made a loss for his evening, I would say.
He maybe did. And we've got to say as well, some of the players attended as well, which is great to see as well, which goes back to what you were saying earlier on about Ryan and John trying to be a bit more transparent, be a bit more available to, you know, the fans. And, you know, we chatted with them during the night at various times, and they were very open of how they were going to approach things, and the players that were there as well were very chatty as well.
Yeah, can't complain one bit. Been very easy for the players that did attend to told me, say no, they weren't a gun to after the season we had. I think, I could be wrong, I think Jason and Jordan Brown have basically come back after holidays as well within that week, and had attended the do on the Saturday night. Danny Strachan was there before he did a prior engagement in Aberdeen. So again, easy for these players to say no, they didn't want to, but credit to them, they've come in, they mix with the fans. Every time you sort of looked up, they were speaking to somebody different. I think that's what we're going to need this season, everybody pulling in the same direction, and that was evident on that night anyway.
Yep, so terrific night, as you said, and I certainly had a good night anyway. I think it's one of those kind of nights, if you didn't enjoy yourself, then there must be something wrong with you. So lots to get through, as we said. We're going to start with what's been a pretty busy transfer window so far. Obviously, it is still remains open till the end of August, and then obviously the loan window opens until the end of September. It does look like we're not even going to venture down the loan market very much, which, as we've discussed many times, excuse me, over the last few years about loans and things like that, they can work out in your favour if not. But at the end of the last season, 11 players left, including Josh Oyenson, who I think at the last recording had been offered a new deal, hadn't decided if he was staying or going, but decided that he was going to play football elsewhere. So 11 left, and 11 have come in so far. So we've had quite a number of players coming in and out. Obviously, Robert Ward was the first one in, then we had Scott Ross, Kieran Gibbons, Kieran Shanks, Joe McKee, Connor Duffy, Aaron Reid, Jordan Armstrong, Blessing Oluyemi, Aaron Smith, and Caleb Goldie was the last one to come in. So that's the 11 that's all come in. Really, really impressed with some of the signing. In fact, impressed with a lot of the players that have come in. We haven't seen too much of Gibbons and Armstrong as yet, but I think, you know, the signs that we've made show a real intent for what Ryan and Jordan want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pleased that we're not going down the route of the loan market. I think we've used that quite a lot in recent seasons. Like you said, it can pay off. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. But I'm glad that we've got our own core, that we're our own sort of players, and we can, you know, build teams on that. And yeah, I think the players that have come in, it is early days. It's only pre-season games and the cup that we've seen them in. But I think signs early on, okay, if you look at it just on results, you would say we're in for a difficult season, but you've got to look at performances, who's been playing, the minutes that they're getting, positions that they're playing, Ryan and Jordan trying different things tactically as well. So, yeah, I think there's every reason to be positive.
It's neat to say that they're not going to look at the loan market. Obviously, the loan market is very difficult at this stage. I think particularly with like the Premier League sides and the Championship sides, what they'll do is they'll look at their squads through the early stages of the season, look through the League Cup, the group stages, see, you know, how people are performing, etc., and then maybe assess, right, we're going to bring this one in, then we can loan him out, or we'll loan him out, then we'll bring in somebody else, etc. So I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's dead in the water kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of speculation with, like, Jack Wilkie, for example, coming back this season with Dundee, but he seems to have been playing quite a lot, you know, maybe off the bench for Dundee so far, but they may look at him and say, well, he needs the minutes. Would they loan him to a League Two side? Would they prefer to maybe loan him to a Championship or a League One side? That's where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the loan mark, like I said, it can work for you. You will tend to find that it will be later on in the month before teams really settle down. I think you've got teams coming, you know, a lot of teams in Scotland in the top flight now. We've got European football to consider. Whether they get through the group stages or where they want to be will determine what sort of size of squad they want. You mentioned Jack Wilkie, a prime example. Tony Docherty has been in the door there a month. A lot of players come in. He's got to make sure he's got the right team for him. So it's not to say the Jack Wilkie deal is dead in the water. If that is, if Jordan and Ryan are interested, like you said, Dundee might decide they want to put him to a higher up level. he might not even want to come back. I think the loan market can work for you, but I am pleased that we've got a lot of our own players and on 2-year deals as well.
And you look at you look at left back, for example. You know, we've got Jordan Armstrong in, but they've been playing Danny Strachan there as well, and he seems pretty comfortable there as well. So you've already got two options there. Do you need a third? That's, you know, the balancing act that they need.
Yeah, exactly. I think Danny Strachan would naturally prefer to be on the right-hand side, but I think he's done okay at left-back. I think Jordan Armstrong will get better. I've seen him against Spartans. Looked a decent player, just needs to probably build up his confidence and match fitness. But I think a natural left-footer in Jordan Armstrong, I think he'll do really well there.
And Kieran Shanks getting him in, not just on another loan, but getting him on a permanent, was just a phenomenal piece of business from Ryan and Jordan.
Yeah, I think this, I mentioned it on social media a couple of weeks back, that I think he will be the top goal scorer in League 2. I still think we're in for a really good season, and I think he'll be there or thereabouts, if may, the top goal scorer. I don't think he'll be too far away from it. I think he's got this knack of being a, I think he's a natural finisher, but he just seems to be in the right place at the right time, seems to be in the end of things. He's a nuisance for defenders. You've seen him dragging defences left, right and centre over the, you know, the 8 months that he's been here, including the loan spell. So I think we're in for a really good season with him up top.
But he'll get opportunities as well, and he'll get a lot of opportunities, I think, in League 2. And, you know, you look at the opportunities he had against against Falkirk, he may be on a different day, a little bit more composure, he maybe could have came off that park on Saturday with a couple of goals. But, you know, if he gets opportunities, maybe 3 or 4 in a game, he maybe score 1, he maybe score 2. That's enough to keep things ticking over, and which is a hell of a lot better than football was last season.
We've seen in the pre-season games, no disrespect to the level of opposition that we played, but he managed to get some good goals against them teams, come up against harder games in Thistle and Dundee United, and also away to Falkirk. And as you said, he will probably, the chances that he gets and the chances he creates, he will score goals. I don't think there's going to be many defenders in League 2 that will be able to keep up with him. I think his pace, his hard work, his running, he'll create chances for himself. And that's why I think he will bag out a fair few goals.
And not only have we brought in 11 players, but Ryan Jordan have also extended contracts to key players as well. David Wilson signed a contract extension. Jack Brown has also signed a contract extension as well. So again, all these guys, all these little pieces of the jigsaw are coming together. It does show as well that the two of them are meaning business. They aren't just going to allow players to run their contracts out just and leave for nine, which is something that we've spoken about before. So they've got not just only this season in mind, but they seem to have a long-term project in mind.
Yeah, you mentioned that's a brilliant word, it's project. I think the players have bought into it as well. I don't think you get many players signing 2-year contracts in League 2, or even League 1 for that matter. Players have obviously bought into what Ryan and Jordan's trying to do. It's been quite easy for players either on the books or that are unsure of signing. A team that's just been relegated, a team that's had 2 tough years in League 1, you know, a change-up, you know, change manager 3 times last season. It would have been hard, I'd have thought, to convince players, but they've done really well. They've got that team now that you think, right, there's a group here that are willing to work for the manager. They're going to try hard. Most of them are on 2-year contracts as well, which is good to see. And I think everybody's now buying into the philosophy that they're trying.
And you could look at it already and just say, well, there's only 4 players going to be out of contract in the summer, which is obviously far and away a much better position than what we would normally be in. One of those players, obviously, is Aaron Reid, because he's on a season loan. The other one being Sandy Wood, who, you know, is down for a year, but will obviously be, you know, we won't see him too often this season, but being the third choice goalkeeper. The other two being Hamish Ritchie and Conor Duffy. Hamish Ritchie obviously would be the priority to get him nailed down for another couple of seasons or 3 seasons if he is going to stay, which I think he probably will do. But, you know, if we can get him signed up, see how Conor Duffy gets on. And already you're looking at, you know, next season's, no matter what league we're in, it's already sorted.
Yeah, we mentioned, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, if we looked at the contract situation about March time, I think we mentioned there was only like 3 or 4 players that were tied down for the following year. So there's been a massive shift in terms of players that are signed up for the following year. And like you said, it's good that we've got that core there. You think that we're now set for at least this season and next season, regardless of what division we're in. And I think the players that you've got, if you've got that, you know, togetherness in the squad, that, you know, effectively that's worth 10 points a season, really, in terms of your unity. So, yeah, really, really looking forward to this season and what the guys can bring.
We've got a squad of 22. That includes three goalkeepers plus, obviously, the two managers. As well, are we liked anywhere? You know, we've heard Ryan and Jordan both talk about needing a number nine. I think we're probably light in that area. We've obviously got Kieran Shanks there, and we've got Aaron Reid. That's our two natural out and out strikers. Would that be an area, do you think, that they will still actively be looking for?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think if you were to say the window closes tomorrow, would you be happy with the business? I think they would be. They would be relatively happy, but I think you're always looking for that one player that can make that a big difference. And I think if you've got a natural goal scorer in your team, you know, that can be invaluable to you. So I still think they're looking for maybe one striker. Would not be surprised if they maybe try and look for another left back. Maybe somebody can play either, you know, full back area, natural left footed as well. Jordan Armstrong, you get an injury to him. Yeah, you've got Davy Wilson, you've got Danny Strachan, but they're predominantly just right-footed, so maybe somebody in that area as well. But if you've got a striker in, I think they'd be pleased.
It's maybe telling that the number nine jersey hasn't been given to anybody yet. So that would suggest that they maybe have had somebody in mind, and that deal either hasn't gone through, or the availability of that of said player hasn't gone through. I know there was when Kane Hester became available. I think Peterhead were one of a host of different clubs that. Went for him, but he decided to go to Montrose instead. So maybe that number nine that they're looking for isn't available at the moment, but doesn't it may become available.
I think Mbappe's contract ends at midnight tonight with his release clause. I don't know if Jordan's maybe waiting on that. But yeah, I think, as you said, the number nine shirt may gone yet. I think you'd be wise to speculate that there's maybe is somebody coming in. I'm sure they've got a player in mind. Like you said, things have maybe changed. It's maybe a team. It's maybe a loan signing. It's maybe just not quite worked out, or they're not ready to finalise it from the parent club. But yeah, I would not be surprised to see another striker coming in.
Yeah, so we're pretty happy with everything so far, and it's just really refreshing just to kind of come into a season. Into a start of a league season, having gone through the League Cup, and know that, you know, your business is pretty much done, instead of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to see what's happening.
Yeah, it's night and day from last season. I was speaking to somebody at work about this other week, going into the first game against Thistle. It was just fine to have two goalkeepers registered, because obviously last time we played Aberdeen in the Cup, we're scrambling about on the Friday, trying to get a goalkeeper in the club and try to get a goalkeeper registered, and people saying we've got Tom Ritchie, but he couldn't play because it was his parent club and all that sort of stuff. But it's a refreshing approach, and I think that stems from the top of the club, through the directors and through the management staff and the players. It's there's a lot of positivity around the club at the moment.
So we'll go through the League Cup briefly. It was a tough group, let's be honest. Dundee United, Partick Thistle, Falkirk, and the new boys, Spartans. It was probably as tough as a group as we probably could have expected. I think, publicly, I think the players and the management would have said, yeah, we're going to give it a good a go as we can. I think maybe privately they would have just seen it as an additional pre-season games.
Possibly, yeah. I think they would have seen it as very stern tests, which is what I think we got. I think can't really argue any of the results. Apart from the Dundee United one, I think that's on paper you'd see 3-0 United and go, yeah, we've been battered a wee bit there. Two penalties in 3 minutes, a red card as well for Ryan Strachan, and you know, there's a few controversial decisions by the referee throughout the game. So looking on paper, you'd think we've had a tough campaign there, which we have, but I think it maybe looks worse. But I think performance-wise, if you've been at the game, you notice that there has been improvements, there is things starting to come together. You can see what Jordan and Ryan are trying to do in terms of their possession base and how they're trying to move into midfield and move the ball quicker. So the early signs are there. And like you said, probably privately they'd have been thinking it's a really tough group. You'd do well to get a win from somewhere. But I think maybe the Spartans one is probably the one that you'd look at and go, they're a team in our division. And obviously losing at home, yeah, the cup games doesn't really mean much at this stage, but it just gives you an ear marker for the next time you play them.
I mean, it started off pretty well. Partick Thistle 1-1 at home, and then we've got the epic penalty shootout. It was good to see Hamish Ritchie back, not only on the park on that game, playing a full game, but he also got on the score sheet as well. And you just, even after the, 10, 15, 20 minutes of that game, you sort of realised how much he was a miss last season.
Oh, absolutely. I think any team, League One, League Two, even a lower championship, would miss a player of Hamish Ritchie's quality. You've seen what he brought to the team against Bristol. He was across the front line, he was dropping deeper into midfield, collecting the ball, passing out wide. He runs off the defender in behind the defensive midfielder, Thistle, as well. Yeah, I think anybody in the division would miss his quality.
A really good goal for him as well. Yeah. Penalty shootout, 10-9. It finished. We kind of lost count at one point. I think it was 10-9. Opportunities to win it as well, which is disappointing. Stuart McKenzie had an opportunity to win it then. I don't know if he was playing rugby or fit he was doing, but it went so high over the crossbar. And then obviously it went round again, and everybody was getting another turn. And it was Andy McCarthy that missed the vital one. But you know, it was a good performance. It was a decent performance. It was an early season game, if you know what I mean. Nobody really sort of performed to a really high standard, but you could also already see that the standards were better than last season.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't Thistle have lost a few players over the close season, but it's a team that was effectively 30 minutes away from being a Premier League team as well. So there's a lot of experience and quality in Thistle's side. And as you said, from our point of view, you could see that there was a vast improvement on what we had, you know, at the tail end of last season.
And the Dundee 91 you mentioned there, it was a 3-0 loss. So a weird kind of game because they'd obviously been knocked out of the cup already, having lost the first two. So their expectation coming to that was maybe just another game in preparation for their first league game. I don't think the expectations from a fan's perspective, a Peterhead fan's perspective, was too high either. But having gone there, performed reasonably well, and then been undone by, you know, two penalty decisions in 2-3 minutes, as you said.
Yeah, disappointing. Nay, in terms of the PRA performance, I think, hey, when I delve too much into it, but the referee certainly came under a fair bit of criticism from within inside the club and from outside the club. I think you'll see that in the social media. But, you know, I think the performance against Dundee United was good, with a chance, you know, to level as well, keeping chance towards the end of the first half. And yeah, two penalties and a red card within the space of 5 minutes, totally undone all the good work for the first half. It's not to say they would have gotten anything out of it, but I think the players certainly gave a good run out.
It was a good travelling support as well, which was good to see. Yeah. I think we'll see a number of fans travelling this season as opposed to last season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think last season it was very difficult to be critical of any travelling support the season that we had. But I think, like I said, there's renewed hope this season. I think you can tell that by the Dundee United game. The buses selling out. So, yeah, it was good to see a good crowd. And even doing it at Falkirk, you know, there's a lot more folk there than fit. I initially thought there might be a dead rubber game against a team that we've notoriously struggled against over recent seasons. So, yeah, I think there will be a large travelling support this year.
So we did finish bottom with one point. We scored three goals more than we did last season, but we also conceded three less than last season as well, despite finishing fifth. And that's the third time in 3 years that we've actually finished fifth. So I mean, our record in the League Cup hasn't been great over the past few seasons since the group stage has come in, apart from that one season where we got out of it. So we're all, I wouldn't say it's an expectation that we're not going to do well, but it just seems to be that we see this as additional playoff games, as pre-season games.
Yeah, difficult to argue. I think when you look at the groups that you've got, and you end up with two championship teams, probably one of the best League One sides as well, especially this year, I think it's difficult to say, look, we need to try and get through it. I think if it, as long as it gears you up for that first game of the season, that, that the management team feel that the fitness levels, the minutes for the players are right, that the how pre-season's gone with the pre-season game plus the cup games, I think as long as you're in good a good position going into your first game of the season, you know, treat it how you want. In no disrespect, we're not going to win the cup. But you might look at it as there's a potential money tie, you know, if you do get through, depending on who you get, if you get Hearts and Aberdeen, Hibs, whatever. But as long as you're geared up for the first game of the season, I'm quite happy with the performances.
The outsiders might look at the results, as you said. Even some Peterhead supporters will look at the results and say, well, that's, you know, it's three defeats and one draw. But you look at the sort of starts of the game. The Partick Thistle game, we had 6 shots, 4 on target. Spartans, we had 6 shots, 5 on target. And Falkirk, we created 10 chances and hit 2 on target. Spartans, they only had 2 shots on goal, and they scored theirs. You know, we you know, how many games last season did we speak about, you know, we weren't even creating any chances at all? So we are in a position where we're creating more. It's just now about being a bit more clinical in front of goal.
Yeah, I mean, outsiders, you look at that group and you'll go, yeah, Peterhead, 1 draw, 3 defeats. It's a continuation of last season. Far from it. I think performances have been a lot better. I think you can see an identity now. I think last season you looked at Peterhead and you couldn't really see a clear plan of what we're trying to do. You know, did the players even understand their roles? I think this season is completely different, even in the 4 cup games that we've seen, plus the pre-season. You can clearly see what fit they're trying to do. Yeah, there's times it hasn't quite worked out in games, or we've maybe reverted back to, you know, a tactic or a style of play for 10, 15 minutes that hasn't worked out. But I really wouldn't get hung up on the results that we've had, you know, the last 3 defeats. Okay, you look at the Falkirk game, go, it's a heavy defeat before the season. The season starts on Saturday. It's a completely clean slate, and I'm sure Jordan O'Ryan will have the players ready for it. But yeah, I wouldn't get hung up on the results, to be honest.
And you should put it into perspective as well. Everybody played a decent amount of minutes within that squad as well. So, you know, they were rotating the squad. A couple of the changes were enforced, you know, like Ryan Stark and being suspended and things like that. But everybody's played, and that's maybe that was the plan overall. For Ryan and Jordan, just to give as many players as they could a chance to play. You know, we saw the two goalkeepers; they both played 2 games. You want to be rotating your goalkeepers during the season, but you know, put it into perspective. It's not as though that we were playing our strongest 11 in all 4 games. Far from it. We were sort of changing things around. We were experimenting.
Yeah, I think somebody said after the Spartans game on the Wednesday night or the Thursday morning that it was probably the strongest Spartans team that they could have played. And I think Jordan Ryan made, it was either 6 or 7 changes from the Dundee United game going into the Spartans game. So again, Nate at full strength there. So you could look at it, yeah, we've lost a game against a team in our division, but you know, you put everything in perspective. Once you've played a full round of fixtures, you've played everybody once, then you'll get a fair idea of where we're at. But I think the cup game has been a good exercise in terms of, for Ryan and Jordan as well, how they've come up tactically against some of the more experienced coaches, and how they've gone about their setup and their pre-season, as well as the players. And as you said, everybody's got like an almost equal number of minutes under their belt as well.
And I'd be more confident with us, you know, in terms of our squad, you know, having a strong 11, but obviously having players to come in and be as equally good or be better. Whereas, you know, like Spartans, you said, that was probably their strongest 11. Have they got the strength and depth in their squad? Probably not. Over a span of a season, that might just come back to bite them. So I wouldn't just sort of, you know, read too much into that one performance.
Oh, no, not at all. I think we mentioned it a few times last season. You look at the bench and go, right, who could come on and actually change this game for us? And you look at the bench, and being honest, very, very few times did you look across and go, yeah, that player could make the difference. This season, I think, is completely different. I think you could look at the bench and go, yeah, he can make a difference, he can make a difference, you can make a tactical change here that brings this player on. So, yeah, a lot of positives. I'm not getting hung up about the results in the cup or the pre-season. It's been a good run-out, I think, for the players and the management duo. And I'm sure everybody's ready to go for Saturday.
Yeah, so expectations, obviously, at this stage of the season is obviously one of everybody's really looking forward to it. before the balloon bursts for Sean Fulk pretty quickly. So we did ask for your thoughts or your expectations on this season. A few of you have come in, see what you've said. Ethan Massey said, feeling much more excited for this season than I was this time last season. Big improvements already can be seen clearly, and once the team properly gels together, then I can't think of many teams in League 2 that will cause us too much problems. And I think that pretty much emphasises, I think, what we've been saying in terms of, you know, our excitement and looking forward to this season. But also as well, you know, once the players gel, I think we will surprise a few teams this season.
I think so. I'm actually quite liking, there's quite a few accounts now on Twitter doing their predictions of how the whole four divisions are going to go. I've seen some wild ones. I've seen Peter Heaton seventh, nay less, Game Leavitt at seventh. Some of us, nay even tipping us to get in the playoffs, quite happy to be the underdog, go completely under the radar and take teams by surprise. But yeah, I agree with the comment. Once we do get the team to gel and you've got a more consistent look in your squad, I think we'll do just fine.
Well, Roberts, we've definitely improved on last season and hopefully we can get off to a positive start. However, we have shipped a few goals already. I know it's the League Cup was tough and hopefully no indicator of things to come. And yeah, there is that kind of element of somebody saying, well, we are shipping goals, but, you know, look at the opposition that we're playing, Dundee United, Partick Thistle, you know, both in the Championship. Dundee United haven't been relegated from the Premier League, Partick Thistle nearly in the Premier League, Falkirk, established League One side, probably could have been in the Championship as well. So if we're shipping goals against, you know, Elgin or Stenhousemuir or Spartans and teams like that, yes, then there would be a bit more concern.
Yeah, I think, hypothetically, you take away the two penalties at Tannadice, and obviously you've got an 18-year-old in goals doing at Falkirk. I can see it on paper. We've shipped, eight goals, something like that. On paper you look at it and go, we have shipped a few, but you look at the personnel that's played, the timing of it, who we've played. Nay overly worried, but let's see where we're at after 9 games of the season.
Peter Bruce, going into the new season, you have to be optimistic. Good to see that we have Ryan and Jordan as co-managers. Let's hope for a good start to the league season. Can't see why we can't make it to at least the playoffs, but time will tell. Scott Reid kind of goes with the same thing. Optimistic for the season ahead. Think we'll be near the top, challenging for the title. Think they have made good signings. Good to get them on longer deals as well. Would like to see them sign a target man that can play off Shanks. And obviously the optimism by Scott and Peter there, really thinking that we're going to be challenging at the top end. Scott, picking up the point there, we're looking for a target man. Again, what we were saying about possibly a number 9. I think it really depends on how they want to play as well. It seems that they're going to play 4-2-3-1 with the signings that they've made, the amount of midfielders that we've got. If you're bringing in another target man, does that change the sort of system slightly?
Possibly. I think having a target man would allow you that different option with 20 minutes to go. I think Aaron Reid's is a big lad. whether you'd have someone else come in that you'd feel as a target man, I think with 20 minutes to go, you're 1-0 down or you're looking for something different in the game. Because I think Kieran Shanks has certainly got a bully defenders. He will give you that running in behind and dragging them across. But you maybe want somebody up there where just somebody can bully a defender in League 2. I think if you've got that combination, you'll do well. So yeah, if you can get, like we said, the fact the number 9 shirt's still available, if it was a target man, I think it could work well.
Michael Wilson, looking forward to the new season, hoping new signings all gel quickly and get off to a good start. Good luck to Ryan and Jordan and everybody behind the scenes. George Brooken says, I think we'll finish third. We need a striker, need to be more aggressive going forward and make Balmore a fortress. And I think that's a key thing as well, is the home games. I know I sort of talk about it quite a lot, but you know, if you can pick up most of your points at home, make Balmore a really difficult place for opposition teams to come and get anything, then that's half the battle, I think.
I think so. I'm guessing that comment is based on the back of the Spartans' home game being made aggressive. I completely agree. A lot of times we had the ball and, you know, we're defensive third. and it was too slow, weren't brave enough on the ball, almost too passive, too, you know, passing's nice and short, but you're really doing nothing with it. So, like, yeah, I agree. In the home games, you've got to try and punch through the lines a lot quicker and be more aggressive on the ball. But I'm sure that'll come in time as the players get to gain each other's roles and responsibilities within the squad. I'm sure that'll come.
But Ryan said that in his post-match shift for the Spartans game as well. He said that we need to be a bit more smarter in terms of the goals because they sort of just passed their way through. Just put in a tackle. If you're going to make a foul, fair enough, at least it stops the attack. And it's maybe little things like that that as the season progresses, will be a bit more smarter about.
Yeah, I think they'll be disappointed with the second goal that we conceded against Spartans. I think it was too easy, doing our right-hand side into the box. It's a good finish, but again, too easy. The first team was a mistake for Danny. Just lost the ball and they've got their way in the back post. But being braver on the ball, being more aggressive, being smarter, I think that's going to be key this season as well. I don't think many teams will come to Ballymore. I think it'll be completely different. I think teams last year hit us on the break quite well for our defensive frailties this year. I think a lot of teams will come up and maybe try and sit back a wee bit. We need to be braver on the ball and try and beat them.
I don't think as well there'll be many travelling supporters as well, or certainly not as big as travelling supporters as we've been used to in League One. You know, like Falkirk would take a big support with him, Dunfermline obviously last season as well would take a big support, Airdrie always took a big support, so I'm not expecting too many away supporters to be coming to Balmour. Good if they did, you know, just to add to that atmosphere, but it's I think that changes the perspective of the opposition team as well when they're playing in front of maybe, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 away fans.
You want teams this year to come up and be a phrase in the word, but you want them to come here and have an easy day like we've given them in the last 2 years. I think teams have come up here and it's been decent weather, they've been able to pass the ball around nicely, they've got their own fans there and travelling numbers, and I think it's been too easy for them. And this year you're looking for the opposite, you're wanting to make it more difficult for them, you want to be braver on the ball. You know, how we start the games is going to be crucial as well. Don't allow teams that first 10, 15 minutes to get set, go right at them. But this year I'm more confident that Ryan and Jordan will have them fired up, you know, compared to last season under the various managers.
So, what are your expectations then? We've heard for some of the fans there. What would you see as being a good season, a decent season, or a brilliant season?
An invincible season, going the season unbeaten. I think if somebody says to you now you'll get in the playoffs, you would probably think, that would be a good season, top four, you would take that. But we've seen by various different folk on Twitter that how they see the season going. And there's a lot of teams in first, second, third and fourth, and it changes by various people.
I think that means it's going to be really tight. I think because nobody's at a standout side, you know, if there was, if say for example Falkirk got relegated into League Two, they would be the standout ones to be to finish top. It is going to be really tight.
I think top four playoffs, you'd be happy with that. But I don't see any reason. There's no reason for me sitting here now thinking, I don't see why we couldn't have won the title. Now, this could come back to bite us in January, February. But looking at the squad that we've built, looking at what they've done behind the scenes and all the work that's gone on, there's no reason why I think there's a team that's got a fantastic goal scorer who's going to bang 30 goals and they've got a tight defence. And you think, right, that's a team that's going to struggle to beat. Yeah, you've got your Dumbartons, your East Fife, Stennies, and it's going to be a competitive season. But I don't see any reason why you think, oh, we can't win the title. Surely that's got to be the aim going into this season. And as what you said, a division that's so tight, set your stall out nice and early. You want to try and win the title, surely.
I think I mentioned this towards the end of last season, but it's worth mentioning again. So the first time we got relegated back into League Two, we took 3 seasons to come out. And the last time we got relegated back in 2017, it took us 2 seasons to come out. So hopefully the pattern continues and we just get out first time of asking. But I've looked at the sort of points targets. So over the last 10 seasons, not including the 2 COVID seasons, obviously, you're looking to finish first, you're looking at an average of 75 points over the course of the season. We won it in 2013-14. With 76 points, and we won it in 2018-19 with 79 points. So that gives you an idea of the sort of points target we're looking at. So over the course of the season, 75 points is about the average, which gives you, you're looking at 18, 19 points per quarter. Okay. If you're going to sort of break it down into the four quarters. So, no, by the 7th of October, which is the Forfar game, which will be when we've played everybody, you know, we'll have a fair idea of, you know, the points that we're looking at. To finish 4th, you're looking at an average of 55 points over the course of the season.
And where do you think we'll finish?
I think we'll finish top four. I definitely think we'll finish top four. I look at the sides in the league, you know, I think Dumbarton, East Fife, Forfar and Stenhouse Muir will be the ones, along with Peterhead, that will be competing for those four positions. Obviously, one's going to miss out. Hopefully, it's not us. But I think those five teams will be the ones up there. I think Elgin, Stranraer and Clyde will struggle. I think they could be the bottom three. But Bonnyrigg and Spartans, I think they'll, although Bonnyrigg's got to be their second season, I think they and Spartans will still be the sort of unknowns, if you like. Will Bonnyrigg have that sort of second season syndrome? I know they finished, what, 8th last season, I think it was, eventually. You know, will they sort of build on that or will they drop off? Spartans, you know, totally unknown. How will they sort of play over the course of the season? So there's loads of different things. I don't think it's just going to be as cut and dry as what a lot of folk are expecting. And as you've said, as you've pointed out, there's not many predictions of us finishing in the top two.
Which I'm quite happy about. I think, yeah, we'll go under the radar. I don't think many folk will look at us and go, that's a team to watch. But, you know, you pin out these predictions up in the dressing room and go, right, this folk are tipping you to be seventh. They think you'll finish outside the playoffs. And, you know, that's sort of your ammunition. As a player, you want to win trophies. I'm sure this group of guys will be no different.
Well, that's it. You know, there's a opportunity here for us to win our third League Two title, which many teams have done. So there's an opportunity there for us to for some of the players that played last season as well, to make amends, if you like, for last season.
Yeah, I do think it's quite refreshing that there has been quite a lot of changes within the squad. I think if you'd gone down with, say, 75% of your players being here from last season, it'd have been difficult maybe to turn that mentality around from a losing side to a winning side. But I think the fact that you've got players that have come in that, a lot of hungry players, you know, you've got the experience of Scott Ross coming in as well, but then you've also got that youth with Kieran Shantz coming in, Aaron Reid, Aaron Smith. These guys all be hungry for success as well. So I think they've got the good balance. Like I said, I think, you know, with the season starting on Saturday, the guys will be ready to go.
I mean, I'd really love it if we sort of run away with it and have it all done and dusted by the beginning of March, but I don't think anybody will run away with this. And I think what you'll find is, teams will sort of take points off each other quite a bit, and it might be, you know, a 5-horse race, a 4-horse race, a 3-horse race, right down to the wire. But you know, it'll be intriguing.
I think I was going to mention this to you before. I think this is where settling for a draw in this division might not be the wisest idea. If you're at home and you're against a team that's, you know, in and around you, going for that winner might actually prove better. You know, lose two games but win the other two rather than having four draws. Okay, keeps an unbeaten run going. But as you said, in a division where people are going to take points off each other, going for that 3 points could actually be more vital this season than it has been in, you know, many years in League Two.
I haven't even mentioned it. I'll mention it very briefly. League Challenge Cup draw. We've been drawn against Brora Rangers and Aberdeen B, which obviously is quite ironic considering what we were talking about at the top of the episode. They play this week, so we will know who our opponents is going to be. It'll be on a Tuesday night. So do we fancy going up to Brora on a Tuesday night, or do we fancy a trip to Aberdeen? If it is at Aberdeen, it probably will be Balmoral. I think it's where they play. It's probably one of those games where, you know, okay, it'd be nice to have a wee cup run in the League Challenge Cup, but, you know, the bread and butter will be the league.
Yeah, give me that League Two title. Forgo the cups, give me the League Two title.
So we start our League Two campaign on Saturday. We are away from home to East Fife. This is one of the fancied sides. by many. We'll probably come on to why that is, but it's good to get the league campaign kicked off. And I think this will be a test as well. It'll be a test to see where we're at and how well we can play against them. Obviously, this will be East Fife's second season now in League Two again, having been relegated a couple of seasons ago. They finished fourth last year. They'll be looking to build on that. We don't know how each team's playing yet, you know, apart from the League Cup, so it's difficult to sort of gauge how the form is, but, you know, expectations and optimism is high for both sides.
Yeah, it is. I think East Fife had your number 2 years ago as well, when we were both in League One. They seem to get the one up on us quite a few times. So, squads have completely changed. Managers have changed in that time as well. So it's a clean slate. I think, like I said, the guys will be ready to go for this one. And they'll want to get, you know, off to a really good start. They'll want 3 points straight away. You know, it's been a long time and since they've been able to get wins under their belt in three last season. So, yeah, I think we'll be ready to go for it. And I think we've... Yeah, it's one of the teams that you'd fancy for the title, but I think we've got to be going down there with the expectation of winning.
Yeah, the previous results, the previous four results, as you said, 2 seasons ago, didn't garner many goals. And there was a 1-0 win for East Fife, a 1-1 draw, a 0-0, and a 1-0 win for Peterhead. So, you know, we're not expecting too many. There was obviously one of those games was a League Cup game, a League Challenge Cup game, I should say. There was a 3-0 loss as well at the start of the season as well. Doing at East Fife. Overall, it's quite tight as well. 14 wins for East Fife, 16 for Peterhead, and 12 draws. You know, it's traditionally one of those teams that we didn't seem to get too much out of as well. But as you said, expectations is different. The scores are different. The managements are different. So it'll be intriguing to see how it goes.
I think if you're the management, you or the players, you'd be wanting to come back up the road with 3 points. Also, but I can't how the game's going to go at this moment in time. But, you know, if you're sitting on the bus coming back up with a point, you maybe feel like an opportunity missed to set down a marker. Whether a point, you know, if you do get a point, it might prove vital towards the end of the season. But early on, you want to get into that habit of winning games. I think even if you left it 3-4 weeks before you get your first win, you want to get that monkey off your back. You're a relegated team. You want to set your stall out nice and early in League Two.
And, you know, we look at it as well. Ryan and Jordan are still waiting for their first victory as managers as well. And they want to get that as quickly as they can. And, you know, if they can get it in this game, all the better. Because, I mean, as you said, it gets a monkey off their back as well. It probably means that they're worried about getting that first victory.
Yeah, like you said, they'll be wanting to get that first victory as soon as possible. I'm sure they'd have probably looked at the Spartans game and the Cup as an opportunity to do that. It hasn't materialised. So, yeah, going into the East Fife game, they'll be wanting to set their stall out nice and early this campaign and get the 3 points and take it back up the road.
Their League Cup campaign, they had 2-0 draws against Queen's Park and Queen of the South, which was pretty decent results. A 3-1 win over Elgin and then a 3-0 loss against Motherwell. So, again, it probably kind of gauged too much into that, although, you know, a 3-1 win against Elgin was pretty decent. I suspect Elgin will be on the back of many 3-1 losses this season, though.
Yeah, I think they're up for a tricky side, a tricky season this year, sorry. They're in a really, you know, added quality that you'd be expecting for their point of view. You know, the loss of Kane Hester as well, a massive role to try and fill that striking position. So I think they're in for a very difficult season.
So the reason why a lot of people are putting East Fife as favourites for League Two is because of that result against Elgin and because Nathan Austin, who they've signed over the summer, scored a hat-trick in that game as well. Nathan Austin and Brian Easton being one of the players, or the few players that they've brought in. So they've brought in experience as well as obviously keeping some of the players we've got there as well. Nathan Austin, though, you know, he scored a barrel load of goals last time he was in League Two with Kelty. Didn't have a great season last season, missed a lot of games. He's obviously going to be the focal point. If they can keep him relatively fit over the course of the season. I think they probably will have a decent season, but other than Austin, I, you know, struggle to see where they're going to get their goals from.
Yeah, they seem very one, you know, sort of one dimensional at the moment. Whether they add quality to it, I think it'll be important that we don't just, you know, focus on Hun on the games. You've got to worry about the other players as well, the runners coming in from the wings or the runs from midfield. But I think if you can, like we've said before, if you can keep certain players quiet, the focal points, then you should be able to pick up the second balls and have a successful game. But you know, you can't just think that you've nullified the striker that you'll be okay.
And we're at a stage now as well where we don't really know what the sort of starting lineup is going to be, which is a good thing. We don't know who our strongest 11 is going to be. There are a lot of different combinations that they could play. So you know, we're at a stage where you know we're going there looking forward to it.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's quite refreshing that you didn't have Kane, the team that's going to happen. I think that will play into East Fife as well. They're only got a Kane for sort of Pierre Heath team's got to turn up. I think it'll be very much a case of how the players train over the week, you know, the two training sessions, and then Jordan Ryan will probably decide, you know, after Thursday's game who's going to start. But I think we've got a lot of competition for places. I don't think you could say there's one player that's absolutely nailed on to start every week. I think last season you had that fear of, you know, such and such is going to play, even though they're in poor form or they're not really interested. But this year, I think, is completely different. You're going to have to fight for your place. And if you're not fighting for your place or you're playing poor, there's a player on the bench that will take it from you.
Yeah. So all in all, though, we're really looking forward to getting going. Really looking forward to see how this season progresses. Hopefully, we're now sitting here in 8 to 9 months' time going, God almighty, what an absolute shambles of a season. Because, you know, if we to go through that again would just be horrendous.
If we're sitting here next season previewing the Highland League, we've got a problem.
Well, it's not going to be as bad as that, surely.
No, we've got Elgin in the division, we'll be fine.
So finally then, I don't really want to start doing score predictions again because we're so bad at that. And we didn't even bother last season. No. Opening game of the season, it's going to be difficult to predict. I mean, I think we'd be happy with a draw as well. You'd like to win the game, but you'd be happy with a draw.
Probably, yeah. I think, as we established, East Fife are one of the favourites for the division. I think it is early on in the season. You're not sure how it's going to go. I think if somebody offered you a point now against a team that many people's tipped to win the division, you'd probably be satisfied with it. But you want to try and get off that winning start. Every manager will say that with the opening game of the season. You want to win your first one. Important for Ryan and Jordan as well to win their first game as co-managers. As we speak now, you'd probably be happy with a point.
This is the Blue Tune Podcast.
So on the Blue Tune Podcast, as you know, we always like to kind of get the perspectives of opposition fans, and this season will be no different. So delighted to say joining me here to discuss Saturday's game is Gordon Henderson. Gordon, welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast. How are you doing?
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks for having me on. Doing pretty good. Looking forward to the start of the season.
That's what I say. This is the stage of the season where everybody's optimistic. Everybody's looking forward to it. And then that quickly diminishes.
Oh, yeah. Every year.
Every year it's the same. But we always come back. That's what we always do. So genuinely, are you looking forward to this season then?
Yeah, I am. Probably a bit more than last season. Last season probably didn't have too many, you know, wasn't too optimistic going into it, but probably did a wee bit better than most people thought we would. So it's probably led to, you know, a bit of optimism that we can build on that. But like you say, always optimistic at the start, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you finished fifth last season, got beat fourth last season, I should say. Lost to Clyde in the playoff. Obviously, you got a chance to redeem that after their relegation as well, but a lot of folk I've noticed in the last few days have put East Fife as one of the favourites to win League Two. Is that a genuine belief among fans, or is that maybe just over expectation?
I think amongst East Fife fans, you'll probably find a bit of optimism that we should be top four, that we should be pushing. So like you said, we got fourth last year, and I think there's a bit of expectation. I think we've improved over the summer, so there's a bit of expectation that we should, you know, kick on a little bit. As far as, you know, as far as challenging for the league goes, I think looking at who's in League Two this year, it doesn't seem to be a standout to me. Mm. It doesn't seem to be a lot between most of the league, to be honest. So I've seen a lot of people predicting that, certainly for top four. But, you know, I don't think there's a lot between some of the other teams that are getting mentioned, Dumbarton, for ourselves. Stenhouse Muir seems to be who most people are putting in the top four. So I think it's a good shout. I think I'd probably put us in that kind of group, hopefully.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier on when we were recording it. I think there's a standout team in the league, and I think it's got to be between sort of five teams. I think you've mentioned the exact same team, so I think it's going to be tight. But that maybe just kind of brings out the best in everybody.
Yeah, it's a good... I mean, it's entertaining. I think it was the same last year where, you know, obviously Stirling and Dumbarton were a wee bit ahead, but it didn't feel like, you know, on any given day, it didn't feel like there was much between the teams, which does make it really tight and, you know, keeps things alive towards the end of the season. And I think I would be surprised if it wasn't like that this year. I think maybe a lot of people are tipping Elgin for 10th, and I think I would as well. But apart from that, it feels like it's there for anybody, really.
Yeah, it's. I think it'll just be down to... it maybe just be little bits of luck here and there between the sides, and that might be the difference.
Yeah, I mean, you know, big things as well, like a bit of luck with injuries. You know, it's always going to be a big thing. I mean, I think no matter who you are, if you're a wee bit unlucky with injuries, it's always going to hurt you. I mean, going into last season, I don't think many people were tipping Stirling, and I don't think, looking through their squad, that, you know, they were outstanding or they had much better quality than everyone else. But I think they just seemed to kind of, you know, they were consistent, found a system that worked, and probably got a wee bit of rub of the green in terms of injuries and stuff like that.
So let's talk about your transfer window so far. I think I've looked at you. 10 players have left, 7 have come in. I think the standout one has been Nathan Austin. I think that's probably where everybody's thinking that's why you're going to be the favourites. How would you sort of assess the transfer window so far?
I think it's been positive. I think in the sort of major players going out, one is Alex Ferguson, who was our player of the year last year. We had him on loan from St Johnstone. He's gone back. Really good player, and he will be a miss. And also Aaron Steele, who's gone off to Arbroath, so he's centre half or right back. Good player as well. So we'll miss those two, but like you say, Austin coming in, hopefully, you know, he's the kind of goal scorer that, you know, every team kind of needs if they want to be successful. Also, I think a big one is getting Brian Easton in from Hamilton. Who's been playing centre half, and I think, you know, goal scorer and experienced centre half are probably the two positions that, you know, every East Fife fan would have said that's what they want to see. So I think people are pretty happy with those two. I think, you know, there's been a few other signings. The two that have stood out for me from what I've seen so far are the two young guys that we've signed from, well, they were both playing at Galloway Dean last season. That's Sean Docherty at right back and Gregor Nicol right wing. We'll say, you know, not really too aware of them before this season, but they've really impressed in the League Cup game. So I'd imagine they've played their way into starting lineup for Saturday. So on the whole, I think it's been quite positive. I think the first 11 is probably not going to... There's no drastic changes. But I think the ins and outs have probably put us a wee bit up, hopefully.
Will it be a case of trying to keep Nathan Austin as fit as possible throughout the season, because you don't want to end up being too reliant on him, but I think he's obviously going to be key for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's obviously he missed a lot of last season through injury, so I think there is that bit of, you know, bit of worry. I know from what I've heard, you know, he's had a good pre-season and you know, he's been given the once-over and everything's good. I think we are obviously being a little bit cautious with him. I know he took a knock in one of the League Cup games and we basically just rested him for the last one. Probably just a bit of a precaution, just making sure he's ready for the league. But I think, yeah, stuff like that is going to be pretty crucial for us because, you know, if you can get 30-plus games out of someone like Nathan Austin in his own form, that could be the difference between, you know, winning the league, not winning the league, getting the playoffs, not getting the playoffs. Yeah. Absolutely.
And where do you see your other goals coming from, do you think?
So, I mean, last season we had, you know, we did all right in terms of goal scoring, and it was probably spread out amongst a few players. You know, in terms of centre forwards, it was Scott Shepherd. I feel like he's always good for a few goals. Ryan Schiavone tends to kind of be a little bit in or out of the team, but he's got a good goal scoring record. And the other one is Jack Healy, who sort of left winger. You know, I don't think, well, last time we were in the league, same league as Peterhead, he probably wasn't playing too much, but he had a bit of a, you know, broke into the first team last season and looks like a really kind of exciting player. He's got a tendency, plays on the left, he's got a tendency to cut in and score worldies now and again. But I think a lot of East Fife fans, another reason for the optimism is kind of hoping that he'll kick on a bit again this season because he looks like a really, you know, a young player with a lot of potential.
You mentioned the League Cup. You had two draws, a win and a defeat. Do you read too much into those games in terms of, you know, how you've progressed, or do you see it as like an extension of the pre-season?
I think I'll never try to read too much into them because, you know, I think everyone can, you know, everyone all have had seasons where you've been rubbish in the League Cup and then you've started the season well, or vice versa. I remember last season as well, Annan. I think they won their League Cup group and then had a pretty poor start to the season. So try not to read too much into it, although I would say it's been a pretty promising four games for us. Quite a tough group. Obviously beat Elgin, 0-0 draws against Queen's Park and Queen of the South, and then won on penalties. So I think the performances there were pretty good because I think, you know, going in, I thought to myself, you know, Queen's Park should probably beat us. Away at Queen of the South, a tough game. So to come through them, where obviously draws in the 90 and then winning on penalties, I think the performances as much as the results have been quite, you know, have been good to see. And it's particularly how tight we've been at the back, actually. Quite encouraging.
So going into Saturday's game, and I know it's the first game of the league campaign. You know, form isn't really telling at the moment. But how did you sort of see the game going?
I think it's that usual thing. I can't see it being anything other than quite a tight game. You know, I suppose as well as it being the first game of the season, I suppose on both sides, you know, we haven't played each other in a while, so. Not really. I know yourselves. You've moved a few players out and a few players in. So, you know, in a sense, it'll be quite a different team to last season. You know, never mind us not playing you last year. So, very difficult to tell. But it's one of these things. I always go into games against Peterhead thinking, you know, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be tight. I don't think between the two sides over the years, I don't think there's been many games where, you know, somebody's winning by two or more goals, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't see it being anything other than quite a tight game.
Well, the last time we were both in the same league, I think there was a five games, so we played each other in the Challenge Cup, and I think other than the first game of the 21-22 season, where you won 3-0, the rest of the games were like 1-0, 0-0, 1-1, and things like that. So they've all been tight. And traditionally, over the course of the last 20, 25 years since we've been playing each other, there's nothing in it.
No, exactly, yeah. It's always a fixture that stands out for me is one that I always feel like it's very, very even. You know, like you say, the games are tight. Probably if you count up the wins, losses and draws, it's probably very kind of even. So, and we, you know, we tend to go around the same, you know, bit up and down between League One and Two. So, yeah.
So how do you see the game go? What's your score prediction going to be then?
Well, I'm going to be a wee bit optimistic. I'm hesitant to come on your podcast and predict a win for us.
Hey, listen, the amount of folk who came on last year and said, oh, 4-0, 5-0, whatever, be my guest, on you go.
I'm not going to be quite so confident. In my head, I was thinking maybe something like a 1-0 or a 2-1 win for us, if I was to be pushed.
And just laying a marker for the start of the season as well, isn't it?
Always good to start off with a win, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Gordon, thanks very much for coming on. Good to talk to you. Maybe catch up with you again later on in the season as well. So hopefully Saturday's game is going to be a good entertainment opening game of the season, because the last thing we want is another 0-0.
Yep, hopefully get a few goals. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you. Cheers. And that is it for the opening episode of the new season. We do hope you've enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Gordon Henderson for joining me to preview the East Fife game, and of course to Martin Smith for being here as always. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate it. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.